good morning, and it is our joy to welcome you here today, especially if you are a guest. Maybe you're a grandparent or aunts and uncles, etc., come to see the Christmas program today. We pray that you will be blessed by your presence here. We are blessed by your presence here. Thank you for being here. Apart from the Lord Jesus, you're our honored guest here today, and we are so thankful you're here. We have gathered today, as Rick said, during our call to worship, to worship the Lord. And I reminded the children just a few moments ago that that's what they're here to do as well. This is not entertainment. We want you to know that. We're not here to be entertained today. We are here to worship the Lord, and we're here to watch and listen as they worship the Lord. And hopefully that will encourage us to do the same as well. I want to remind you once again to please make sure your phones are on silent. Please make sure your phones are on silent. Please make sure your phones are on silent. And if you haven't yet, check your phones to make sure they're on silent. Inevitably, it doesn't matter how many times we say that in a Sunday morning service. 15 seconds later, someone's phone goes off, right? So, we want to take just a few moments this morning and pray and ask the Lord's blessing over these moments. And then we will be present as the children worship the Lord together. So let's bow. Lord Jesus, we come to you today as the song we just sang reminds us you were the Lord of glory. And you inhabited a human body, vulnerable and helpless, a little baby. Hands that flung the stars in space, now tiny, reaching out for help. We sometimes, as evangelical Christians, don't like to think of Jesus that way. But you were 100% human when you came into this world. The gifts that were given were royal gifts. They weren't normal baby gifts. It wasn't a baby blanket. It wasn't a hat. Gold, frankincense, and interestingly enough, myrrh. These are kingly gifts. And yet, Lord, one of them was a burial spice, prophesying that you did not come to live a full life and to stay here and just be one of us forever. You came to die. And Father, as this church so beautifully puts it up above our heads here, that the cradle exists in the shadow of the cross. This morning, Lord, as we as Christians gather here, we gather to listen and to watch as the children retell this story, a story we know, a story that even unbelievers know. Now they don't recognize it as true, but they know it. But Father, we gather here as those who believe it to be true. The eternal God of the universe, taking on human flesh to live a sinless life for us, to die an atoning death for us, to be raised again from the dead on the third day so that our justification would be sealed, and then taking something back to heaven with him that he did not come with, and that is a human body. Those of us who are redeemed, Lord, we will gaze upon that body for all of eternity, and we will look at the scars and remember that, yes, we remembered your birth, but we are there because of your death. We are there because of your resurrection. We are there because of your sacrifice on our behalf. And Father, we pray that in all that we see and hear and sing today, that we would be mindful of the entirety, the whole story, and that we would, as we've just sung, worship Christ, the newborn King. And Father, we'd be remiss today if we did not pray for those who have come who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, as Lord. Or maybe they've come just to see their grandkids, their niece, nephew. But we pray, Father, that this story, the story of God becoming man, the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, so that we sons of men might become the sons of God, that would grip them today, and that by your Holy Spirit you would draw them to the loveliness of the Savior. Now, Lord, we pray for the children. We pray that they would not be nervous. Lord, there is no need to be nervous here today. They tell a familiar story. Lord, we pray that they would know that we, everyone in this room, is for them. We're not listening for mistakes. We believe in them. But more importantly, Lord, that they would know that they are here to worship you. We pray that they would remember their lines, that they'd sing out with gusto. And that, Lord, when we sing with them as a congregation, we would sing out this story. And Father, I pray that at the end of this day, at the end of this service, when the children go back to their families and they have this moment when mom and dad get to talk to them about the play that they did today, that they would know that it is a moment of victory, that they have done well, and that they have done well for the glory of the Savior. In whose name we pray.
Thank you all for coming today. Our Christmas program is called New Star and includes verses from Matthew 1 through 2, Luke 1 through 2, and Isaiah 7:14. Listen closely to the Bible characters because all their lines are scripture. So when learning their lines, the kids also learn the verses that tell us of Jesus' birth. We would like you to join us in two of our songs. The music is included in the bulletin. Our program won't be perfect, but it is telling the perfect story of God's redemption plan. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome, new stars. You guys are looking nice and bright this evening.
Thank you, old star. We've been working on our shininess.
Good job. And this is a great night for all of us to look our best.
Why is that?
Because it's Christmas.
Yeah, what's Christmas?
You don't know about Christmas? Oh, that's right. You're brand new stars. This is your very first Christmas.
Yes. Is it your first Christmas, too?
Oh, no. I've seen over 2,000 of them.
Wow, 2,000? Is that a lot?
Well, yes, it is. In fact, I am old enough to tell you about the very first Christmas, and I can explain why we still celebrate it even after all these years.
Oh, please do. We want to hear all about it.
Okay. To start with, we have to go back before the first Christmas and visit a little town called Nazareth.
Is Nazareth a place in the sky, you know, up in space?
No, it's a place down on the earth, on that little bitty planet right over there.
You mean the one over there by Jupiter?
No, the one a little further to the left.
Do you mean Pluto? I didn't think it was still a planet.
No, not Pluto, to the left.
You mean the little blue and green one? Between Mars and Venus?
Exactly. And look, right over there is the town of Nazareth.
Oh, who's that pretty lady?
That's Mary. She is a virgin, and she is pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Joseph is a carpenter. He is also a righteous man.
What's he doing?
Building something. Carpenters are always building something.
I hope it's a cradle.
I think you're getting ahead of the story.
Who's that other guy? He's all shiny, like us.
That's Gabriel. He is an angel. He has come to talk to Mary. Let's listen.
Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.
Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High.
How will this be since I am a virgin?
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a womb and is going to have a son. And this is her sixth month, who is called barren, for nothing is impossible with God.
Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let this be according to your word.
What did all that mean?
The angel told Mary that she is going to have a baby who will be the Son of God.
And what did Mary do?
She was obedient.
Oh, good. Now what? I like Mary. She seems really nice.
Oh, she is. After the angel left her, Mary hurried to visit her cousin Elizabeth. When Mary arrived, she found out that things were just like the angel had told her.
Mary seemed really happy to see Elizabeth. And just think, Elizabeth was going to have a baby in her old age. It was a miracle.
Yes, it was. And Mary wasn't the only one who was happy. Elizabeth was happy too. Listen to what she said to Mary. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for a long visit and then returned home to Nazareth. But by now, it was more obvious that she was going to have a baby.
Uh-oh. What did Joseph say?
Well, Joseph knew the baby was not his, but since Joseph was a just man, he decided to divorce Mary quietly. But after he had considered these things, God sent an angel to speak to Joseph in a dream.
Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for the one that is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin.
All of this was done in fulfillment of the ancient prophecy of Isaiah, which says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Oh, and the name Emmanuel means God with us.
Wow, that's a great name. What did Joseph do when he woke up?
He did just what the angel had told him to do.
Okay, so what happened next?
Next, there was a little drama that went on in Rome. Caesar, the Roman ruler, ordered that everyone had to be counted.
Why would he do that?
I don't know, something about taxes, whatever those are. But in order to be counted, everyone had to go back to their family's hometown.
Sort of like a family reunion?
Yeah, a little bit, but without the games or the potato salad.
That's too bad. I love potato salad. Did they have cookies? I love cookies, too.
I don't think so.
Then it wasn't really much like a family reunion at all.
No. In fact, for Mary and Joseph, it was a long, difficult journey, especially since Mary was expecting a baby.
Where did they have to go?
They went to a little town called Bethlehem.
Do you mean that little bitty town over there in the middle of nowhere?
Yep, that's the one. It was the birthplace of Joseph's ancestor, King David.
Wait a minute. Bethlehem, isn't that the one they sing about they call "A Little Town of Bethlehem"?
Yes.
I really like that song. They even sing about how the silent stars go by.
Listen, I think someone's going to sing it now. If the congregation would remain seated and please join us as we sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the deep and
Wow, they can really sing. But listen, I thought this was a story about the first Christmas. Isn't there something about a tree and a star?
There was no tree on the first Christmas, but there was a star.
Where?
We're getting there. First, we have to hear more about Mary and Joseph.
Okay.
So Joseph went to Bethlehem to be counted, and Mary went with him.
Look, Mary and Joseph have arrived in Bethlehem. I hope they have somewhere nice to stay. Mary looks very tired.
You're right, but there was no room for them in the inn, so Mary and Joseph stayed in a stable.
A stable? You mean like one for cows and horses and goats and sheep and...
Yep, that's right. Mary and Joseph stayed in a humble stable. There Mary had the baby, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger.
What did they name the baby?
They named him Jesus, which means the Lord saves.
Look, I think they're going to sing again.
Yeah, they do that a lot at Christmas time. You get used to it.
Wow, that was a really great song. Just think, the Messiah came to the earth as a baby. How wonderful, how glorious. No one on earth could have missed that.
It's amazing that not only did people miss the Messiah then, but they still miss him today. Maybe it's because they aren't really looking for the Messiah. But God also sent an angel to tell a group of shepherds all about it. Of course, it really frightened those shepherds to suddenly see an angel.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying...
highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. If the congregation would please join us in singing, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Sweetly singing o'er the plain.
So that's the story of the first Christmas, but we still haven't heard about the star.
Patience, young star. We are getting there, but there's more to the story. Look, over there to the east.
Who are those guys?
Those are the three wise men, but they can tell us themselves.
We three kings of Orient are bound, guess we traverse afar.
Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star.
Wait a minute. What are they saying?
It's from an old song about the three wise men. They are saying that they are three kings from the east, and that they've traveled a long ways to get here.
Oh, I get it. They saw the star, and they followed it, because they were wise enough to know that it meant the Savior had been born.
That's right. Listen, I think they're going to tell us... I think they're going to sing about it.
Twinkle little star, how I
Oh, I like the kings. And look, they brought presents. Who are they for?
The gifts are for Jesus. They are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold because Jesus is the king, frankincense because he is the high priest, and myrrh because of his sacrifice. They are going to Jerusalem, to the palace, to look for the king of the Jews.
But why? Jesus is in Bethlehem, over there.
They were looking for the baby king in a palace, but they didn't find him there.
Who did they find?
Well, unfortunately, they met an evil man named Herod, who was the local ruler.
Well, is he who has been born king of the Jews, for we saw his star when it rose.
And have come to worship him.
When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born.
In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.
After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Why didn't they go back to see Herod?
Because Herod didn't really want to worship Jesus. He wanted to destroy him.
That's horrible.
Yes, it was.
What happened to Jesus?
An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream.
Arise, take the mother and the child and flee to Egypt, and remain here till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.
And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son.
That's wonderful. Is that the whole story?
There is a little more. When it was safe, they went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Jesus was the Son of God, and he did all of the things that were prophesied about him. He lived a perfect life and died on a cross for all sin and rose again to live forever. Now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and one day he will come to judge the world.
That's amazing. And how do you know all of this?
Oh, I saw it all from up here in the sky. For you see, I am the new star that appeared that night.
Really? You are the new star? But you are so old.
So is the story. Over 2,000 years old. But it is still as true today as it was on that very first Christmas. And that's why we still celebrate Christmas today.
That's amazing. Thank you for telling us the story. I think we'll shine a little brighter now that we know all of this.
Well, you know what King David said? He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world.
Yeah, well said. Hey, is that the same King David?
Yes, King David, the ancestor of Joseph, the one who was born in Bethlehem all those years ago.
Wow, I like that guy. He has a real way with words.
Okay, so now what?
Looks like it's time for the final song.
And cookies? I love cookies.
Yes, yes. We'll get you some cookies.
Thank y'all so much. Daniel, I do think we need to talk about your mother always casting you as Herod, the evil king. We're gonna have a conversation about that later. No. Didn't they do a great job? We do want to thank you all for being here today. Thank you so much. We pray that the service has been a blessing to you. I want to thank Lori and the whole staff here, all those who have worked, Michelle, Sarah, Justin. Sorry, I almost just said the old star. Brian, leave. What other adults do we have here who all? Oh, and Gwen, yeah. Good night, Gwen. Thank you. So thank y'all so much. What they've told today is the story. I've been really, really moved this year by that line from Silent Night, the dawn of redeeming love. That's what they taught us today, is the dawn of redeeming love. If you've never experienced the love of God in Jesus Christ, it would be our great joy to talk to you about that after the service. We'll be around. You can talk to any of these folks. It would be our great joy. You are not an imposition. Please come see us. Let us serve you, okay? Let's stand together. And we'll be dismissed this morning with a blessing. And then I think the children have gifts for you. Okay. Well, let's bow together. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. You're dismissed.